And welcome to Marooned at MacBytes Headquarters, day 127 times 2!
Which is 254.
Well done, Mike. Well done.
And that was without the aid of a spreadsheet.
It was, but you did have to stop, just so.
Without the aid of a safety net.
Yes, and in my case, without the aid of any sleep. Not even joking. Am I, Mike?
Or any food. Well, I've only had a bit of salad.
I haven't got time. What time have I got to eat?
Well, there's a bun here. I could feed it to you.
Soon. Hello, Jonathan. I thought the email might give it away. Hello, Debsy QCQ. And hello, Paul. Loving seeing the inside of the house pulling together. Oh, all those walls where they're putting in the, I don't know what you call it, the plumbing-y bits. All I was thinking was, wish I could do that and embed all the network cable. I know I'm bad. Shouldn't put network cable in walls, should I?
I used to know the phonetic alphabet.
Alpha, Bravo, Charlie, Delta.
I probably could still do
Echo,
it.
Echo, Foxtrot.
Echo, Foxtrot, Golf.
Lima. Hotel.
India, Lima. Mike.
Did you have the K in there?
No.
What's K?
Kilo,
way!
What's N?
N. November.
Oscar, Papa, Quebec, Romeo, Sierra, Tango, as in Juliet Bravo, STU, Uniform, Victor, Whiskey, Yankee, Zulu.
Well done. Yay. Well done.
Yeah, because when I used to work for a software company...
Go on.
My desk, it was a big open plan office.
Oh. Yeah. Hell on earth. Yeah.
And where I sat was right next to support. And what they would do is customers would ring up and they would need a registration code to install software, and one of them would read it out and they'd use the phonetic alphabet, and every time they said Mike, I'd turn around. Thanks,
now,
Johnny.
I did it deliberately. I got a friend of the family who was a police officer to teach me, because I was probably about 7 and I wanted to be a police officer. Obviously, I only wanted to be a police officer because I wanted to be in the dog division. When I realised I should do a 5-mile run for 2 years every morning at 5 o'clock, it went right off the idea. It was actually easier to stay at university for 5 years and be a lawyer. I'm built for comfort, not speed. And I'm definitely not built for a 5-mile run. Do you realise a 5-mile run would be from here to the church?
And back.
From the church back. From here to the church. From the church back. And then back to the church again.
Yeah. How would you get back from church?
I'd be dead by then, so it wouldn't matter.
Get a lift.
Oh, God, no, because that would mean the priest bringing me back. And the last time I was out driving with him, oh, my word.
Yeah,
how
I was
never
in the car
been
at
arrested
the same time.
Is beyond me. No, I'm not doing that. He drove me up to Bolton for the computer, don't you remember?
Yeah.
I went in to fix the computer. The computer was dead. So he said, can we get another one? So I said, yeah, we should go to Scan and get one, which is... It's a huge computer store in Bolton, but it's independent.
They know Scan.
I've talked about Scan before.
Talked about it.
Yeah, it's an independent one, so it's not like going to PC World, thankfully. So we said, let's go now. And the next minute I know I'm in Bolton. Oh, with the sat-nav. Do you remember the sat-nav?
Yes.
This was a classic. We were discussing a pair of Bluetooth headphones, and they were at Aldi. So... He got this sat nav, and now I've never had a separate sat nav. I only use the phone. So he gets this sat nav out, and he says, you know, the nearest Aldi. And this woman comes back and says, this is where it is. And it was literally, I mean, you know, Middlebrook.
Yeah.
It's like a retail park. So at the very edge of this retail park, there is a housing development. They are huge houses and they are beautiful. So the sat nav saying turn left, turn right, through this housing estate. And I'm thinking, really? How bizarre. So keeps going. And she's saying, keep going. And then she said, turn right and keep going. And we turned right into this little road. And by this stage, I'm thinking, there's no way out of here, trust me. And I've got my Google map up in front of me. So I've actually got, like, street view. So I said, don't take it too fast. And he went, why not? As he swung round the corner. And there they were, bollards. About six of them, right across the road. And he stopped dead and went, what? And the sat-nav says, proceed ahead, proceed ahead. I said, I wouldn't if I were you. Not unless you've got some kind of elevation possible. Well, of course, he couldn't then. The sat-nav just would not navigate him, would it? It was saying to go straight on. So he couldn't say, like, you know, alternative route that doesn't involve levitating over the bollards. Oh, my God, it took us about 5 hours to get to Alder. We had to use mine in the end on my phone. So by the time I got home, because then they had to build the machine. It's all custom built, so it doesn't take them long, you know, maybe like an hour. So he said, let's go and have some lunch. Let's go to Tesco. I thought, oh, please, not via the bollard route. Yeah, so that's not happening again, Mike. And the only other time I've been in a car with him was the calamity at the barbecue. One of the older parishioners was somewhat taken a little poorly.
For worse or worse, a drink.
Absolutely paralytic, could not stand up. And I was the only one that was sober. Everyone else had had a drink. The taxi wouldn't take her home, so I had to. We had to take the priest with that one, you know, even though he was blind drunk as well. Because he was the only one who knew where the house was. She didn't know.
He was the only one that knew how to turn the alarm off.
Well, we had to trust when we're at it. What's the alarm code? We just had to trust that she was actually right. He didn't know the code. He just knew where the panel was. It's a wonder we didn't all get arrested.
And she threw up in my car.
She threw up in your car. We had to go with a bucket. It was not good. But there was me, there was the priest, there was the lady in question, and there was another lady that we'd taken with us. What would you say? How would you describe her? She was going to do the lady ablutioning things that I had no desire to do. I was too sober for that. So I was just doing the driving, at which point I was driving Mike's car and I discovered, and this was like, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning, he had a light out. I'm thinking, I'm going to get arrested. You know, the police are going to stop me and say, but he got one headlight. And you wonder why I find it too people-y out there. Just say. Oh, Paul thought about putting the network in.
And you thought church was all about hum.
I could have done with a retreat after that. But the last time we went on retreat, it didn't end well. So, no, I'm not going there either. What you could do in the wall, Paul, given that there isn't really a wall yet, you've just got an embryonic wall. You could put cable trunking in that you could get in and out of in the future. Oh, it makes me want to rebuild. But then I came to my senses. I couldn't be doing with the stress of it all. And I haven't really had any sleep, have I? But you'll discover that in the show. We managed it. Did you notice that, Jonathan? Or did you think it was a joke? Oh, it was. It was a miracle. Shall we give them hints as to what's in it? No, we won't. No.
Now they'll have to listen.
We're going live. It is indeed day 127, which was going to be crossover day. The day when we have more marooned than MacBites. But we couldn't let the day pass, could we? Absolutely not. So we've been plotting and planning for a week how we were going to make that happen, given that we had an almost 5 hour after hours on Friday and marooned, and then marooned on Saturday and a 5 hour music show and marooned on Sunday. So the way we did it was, I didn't actually get to bed full stop, did I?
No.
Mike did. Lola did. But I didn't. But it's here. In fact, I can see it. Keyed up for a live premiere tonight for our special people with us on Marooned. The other MacBiters don't get it unless they're here at 8 o'clock tonight.
So if Mummy Isaacs rings, you'll have to be finished by 8.
Jonathan, you're going to have to sack him off by 8.
Or not started till 9:35.
Oh, now you've given a clue as to how long the show is. Actually, you know, I didn't actually even look at how long the show is. Let me have a look. It is
1 hour, 33 minutes.
55 seconds.
Yes.
See, somebody's taking notice. I had to edit it, and I was gone by then, Mike. I started the edit about 7:45 this morning, 7:30.
Mm.
But as I say, I hadn't had any sleep. Mike got up at 5 and there we were. Jonathan's going to send her a message. Tell her it's something critically important that's rarer than a blue moon and it's happening tonight at 8 o'clock.
Mummy Isis won't be happy. He's sacked off from that place.
He doesn't have to tell her what it is. He just has to say it's incredibly rare. Tell her that you've got an appointment to see some hen's teeth. How many MacBites have we had this year? There's a question for him. Oh, better go off and have a look in the system, hey? There was the review of the year, whatever number that was. There was 125, 126. 126 was the 18th of May. Shocking, isn't it? June, July. It's only 2 months. We usually have 3 months gap between the shows, but... going to go with 3. I think there was more than 3, Jonathan, but I could be wrong. I could be wrong. Michael, find out. Let's have a look.
23, 24...
If there wasn't 23, I can assure you.
26, 27.
So what's that, 5?
5.
Oh, Kim, spot on. So far, it's a 5-show year. You should challenge us, Jonathan. I can smell a challenge there, can't you? How about somebody challenges us to get into double figures with MacBites, a double-figure year? Did we have a double-figure year last year? Don't think we did.
Don't think so.
No, and do you know what other year was shockingly terrible? But in my defence, I was having bionic teeth installed at the time.
2015.
2015 wasn't great, was it? We did get a show out. I think the first show that year was March. I couldn't speak till March.
8 we did last year.
Oh, we didn't get to double figures last year. Well, just think, we are in July and we've
7
got 5.
The year before.
Oh, dear.
2 the year before that.
2? What year was that?
2017.
That was terrible. How did Jonathan manage?
1, 2, 3.
Oh, Jonathan's five. Upping the challenge here.
5, no, 4 in 2016.
God, this is terrible.
4 in 2015.
So it was quarterly, basically.
A shed load in 2014.
That was because there was a challenge on, wasn't there? Wasn't that the 7 challenge? 7 days of MacBites if they did an iWork update? Because I remember it happening in the autumn as Mum got ill. So there was quite a lot that year. It went downhill after that. Jonathan, 2017 wasn't a good year. It wasn't. I'm trying to remember why not. If the teeth started in 2015, they finished for the second time, don't ask. Yes, I had them all done twice.
We did one in June.
Where are we now? What year are we?
2017.
Right, one in June.
And one in October.
I wonder why. You know what you do. Right, I'm having a look at MacBites now. I'm having a look. 2017. Oh, no, no. I'm thinking there's a lot of shows there. That's filtered for after hours. Let's get into a MacBites filter. There's so few shows. Let's have a look. 2017. I can't believe we only did 2. Shocking behaviour. In fact, there was a 10-month gap between the trolley dolly from hell and Dithering Knits. Oh, I know how come we'll have done Dithering Knits. Dithering Knits in June was talking about WWDC 2017. And then we've got Tiger Feet with added socks, docks and shifty cows. I do remember that one. I also remember the one that was, oh dear, 6 months later, which was Mutiny at MacBites headquarters. That was when the series took over. You have no idea how you found MacBites. Jonathan, age is a terrible, terrible thing. You did listen at uni, I remember, because we had a conversation when you were a mere child about school tech, a back-to-school special thing. And we discuss Pear Note, which is still sort of going in its death throes, like all the rest. I reckon Kim probably found us via After Hours or my YouTube videos. I think. Well, I can definitely say, although this won't come as news to anybody, now you know there were two shows in 2017, there will be more than that this year. Because today is show 5. If we managed August, September, October and November, and December, that would be another 5, which would take us to 10. Now, we'd have to kind of double that, basically, to aim for Jonathan's 12. If we're aiming for 12 in a year, we're behind, Mike. Do you think we'll make 12 in a year? Yeah. Would it make your Christmas, Jonathan, if we looked back on the 31st of December, when we'll probably be doing episode whatever of Marooned, and there were 12 MacBites? Would we consider that to be a success? Oh, Deb found me looking for affinity videos. And a MacBites After Hours for Paul. Was that because it was live, Paul? Was it you went to YouTube and it said this is live now? Because I always wonder. Oh, it would be a success, says Jonathan. Right, so 12 by New Year's Eve. Right, I'm going to put that on a post-it note, Jonathan, as a challenge. We'll leave it on the wall.
Johnny says
it would be a resounding success.
Yeah, Johnny was one of the early ones, wasn't he?
He was.
Yeah, with Jane.
With Jane and Minster. And Stargate John.
Yeah.
Stargate John went Android.
Carrie. Gazmaz.
Gaz and James Woodpad.
Yeah. He's just moved house.
Has he?
Yeah.
I do follow him, but I don't look at Twitter.
He was on Facebook. He posted on Facebook yesterday that he was sat on the toilet. The lid was closed. He wasn't actually on the toilet. He was packing up a box for the move and he just felt a crack. And the toilet seat, the toilet lid cracked. He said, luckily Amazon could deliver today. Because obviously they've got to leave the house with an intact toilet lid.
Oh God, it reminds me of those things in the 70s where people were moving out of houses and they were taking the light bulbs with them.
That happened to Melanie. Do you remember Mel? That was my boss.
I do remember Mel.
Yeah, she moved house. No, she moved into a house. And she said they're taking everything with them. Toilet roll holders, light bulbs, everything.
Crying out loud.
Don't think I could be bothered unscrewing them.
I swear some people would take the floorboards if they could. We actually got left far too much here. The couple that had it were very bohemian in their tastes. So there was some wallpaper that had like a massive pattern on it, but it was kind of like grass. Really like 60s laid back style. And the odd wall had cladding on it. Pine, what would you call it? Planks, basically. Tongue and groove. And it was proper pine. It wasn't the stuff that's like a fake wooden wall. No, this wooden wall was real. And Mum loathed it with a passion. But what she did was she did all of the kind of easier stuff first. There was a gas fire in the front room that needed replacing, which meant she then had to decorate. So this wall was left, this cladded wall, for years. I think it was 83. So we would have been in the house over 4 years and this wall was still there. And it was one of these days. Mum would go like, I'd say depressive, but she'd have a moment, wouldn't she, where she would go to say, I hate that wall. And she'd start again. And then I would say, well, let's deal with it. And she'd say, no, leave it for now. It was one of her sayings, leave it for now. So this particular day, she started again about this wall. And I said, for crying out loud, give me the hammer. I said, do you really hate it that much? She said, yes. And her problem was, yes, she hated it that much, but she knew it was proper wood. And there was no way it was just kind of glued on the wall. So she was concerned as to what was behind it if we took it off. So I said, well, there's only one way to find out. And I took a claw hammer and took it off. The wall behind it Not good. God, I wish we'd had phones then where you could just take pictures of everything. Because I looked at it and thought, this is going to be a bigger job than I was hoping for. And what was behind it was like a battening system. So it was a proper wall that had been plastered. And they'd put like two inch by 1 inch wood on it in like a grid pattern. And then nailed this wood on the top of it. So obviously I'd taken all of the wood off and now I'm left with the grid thing on the wall. So that had to come off. When all of that came off, it actually looked better, to be honest, at that stage. But I was left with that many holes in the wall. It took me 2 days with polyfiller to go round and resurrect this wall. If you can imagine like a colander, that's what this wall looked like. And she said, we're never going to be able to fix it. I'll have to get the plasterer in. And I said, you don't need a plasterer, leave it to me. And I worked like, you know, Sistine Chapel ceiling. I literally had this polyfiller. I don't know if you have that in the States. It's like, as the name implies, it's a filler for holes in a wall, but it's actually white. So it's not like a pink plaster. So I've got in my hand a glass of like a mug of water. So I've got that like hooked on my fingers. I've got some earbuds, ear cleaning buds. You're wondering why, but I will explain. I've got a couple of paintbrushes, both like inch wide paintbrushes, 3 inch wide paintbrush, and tiny paintbrushes that like a child would paint with, all in one hand. And what I was doing was, you know, I knew the problem with polyfiller because Dad had used it before for certain jobs, but nothing as big as this. This was a rebuild job that was needed. So I tried the first one. And the thing with it is, if you just take the polyfiller, oh, and I had a stripper as well, or a trowel type thing to make it flat. But the thing was, as you flattened it, it kind of bubbled up again. Oh, it was a nightmare. So, oh, that sounds like the Amazon man.
Oh.
I hear the gate. Will I now hear the door?
So I go and check.
Don't frighten him. Don't frighten him off. We'll never see him again.
I looked through the window.
So I'm sat there stood there with all of this stuff. And if you kind if you kind of push it into the hole, it kind of bubbles out again. But you've got to leave it to dry anyway. So the problem was, whenever my dad had done it, he'd put the polyfiller in the hole in the wall. And it might have looked all right and it might have dried. But when it dried, give it a couple of days and it fell out. It literally just fell out. And Mum was like, oh, that stuff's rubbish. It doesn't work. But what he'd done wrong, and you couldn't tell my father anything, could you?
No.
No. You just let him do it and nodded sagely. And then when he went out playing with his radios, which he did regularly, thankfully, you just redid the job. That was what he did, because I'd have Mum on the other side looking on in horror at what mess he'd made. So, she said, it'll never work. We're going to need a plasterer. And I said, just give me some time with it. What I think he'd done wrong was he hadn't taken the original hole or the crack or whatever he was putting this polyfiller in and damped it down. So that's why I had the earbuds. So I dipped the earbuds in the water and then I put the earbud in the hole in the wall. And what was coming out was like dried plaster. Well, if you didn't take that stuff out, you didn't make that damp and kind of mix it in with the polyfiller, then when the polyfiller dried, the powder would stop it sticking and it would just come out. So there I am, 2 days on this wall. Once I'd got it all done, then I had to wait for the whole lot to dry. And then I had to take some glass paper, come sanding paper to it to make it all smooth. The end of the third day, she comes in and looks at it, and it might have looked like a Dalmatian, but it was smooth and it was perfect, and she papered it. And you've seen that wall. You can't tell that it once had holes all over it, can you? No. Which was a good grounding for me, for when the wall fell down. Not that wall. My dad decided he was going to put in, we had a socket on the wall. Paul will know to put double sockets in. In fact, Paul, if you can put like 3 million sockets in, that's probably a good idea. Retrofitting it, not such a good idea. In the smaller bedroom, which was my bedroom at the time, we had one plug. Well, that wasn't going to work even when I was 12. So Dad said, I'll replace the single plug with a double plug. So he needed to turn the electric off, take this thing off the wall. It should have been a simple matter of just taking the cables and putting in a double facing plug. For whatever the reason, he was fiddling around under the floorboards. And he said, Mum said, let Elaine do that. But obviously, I was about 12. But she trusted me more than she trusted him, which is shocking. Shocking, that's a good word.
I'm just going to say that.
Hold on to that word. So he said, you two can't do it. You've got to be very careful. You don't just go through the cable. Well, I looked at Mum and she looked at me and we both did the, you know, Olympic level eye rolling. And he carried on. So he gets this socket. Well, I don't know actually how he managed to make the level of mess that he made, but this is a classic. He managed to get the double socket on the wall and he managed to put the cable to it. But like I say, I don't really know why he decided to take the floorboard up, but he did. He then had to put the floorboard back when he finished. So he tested everything was working in that. And at that stage, the electric was back on and he checked the plug. Everything was fine. What could possibly go wrong? He then put the floorboard back down with the electric on and hammered a nail through it, clean through the cable. There was one almighty bang. The floorboard was singed. You should have heard the language. I've never heard my dad use language like that before. Mum went orbital. And he obviously then had to turn the electric off and fix the issue that the cable that was running to this socket was then knackered, technical term. And he couldn't really put a new one in because he'd have had to have taken walls down and things. So he got a junction box. But the thing was, of all the cables in the house, this one had the least play in it, by which I mean, once you'd cut out of it the bit that was charred, and then tried to use this junction box, it was really tight. So he cursed on with himself for about 3 hours. But I mean, he only had himself to blame. I mean, when you're doing something like that, for a start, don't nail floorboards. They should be screwed. Because if you nail a floorboard, and we've got one like this, we have a floorboard that runs from the office through to the bedroom. And the office used to be my bedroom at the time with my mum and dad. And there was a floorboard that was sticking up. So Mum said to him, nail that floorboard down. So he did. She then went in her bedroom and it popped up at the other side. So she said, can you nail this floorboard down? You nail that one down. And obviously it's creating a seesaw effect. And if you think about how a nail works, there's no traction on it. As soon as you stand on the other end, the weight of a person stood on it is going to be enough to pull this nail out at the other end. Don't nail floorboards, screw them down. Which I then had to do about 5 years later, unbeknownst to him. So, oh, he's going to take us with him. Excellent, Jonathan. So, he's trying to fix this thing and it took ages and ages. But eventually he gets it all sorted. So, the plug was working fine, the cable was fine, floorboards back, all the charring's removed, everything was fine. Until about 2 years later. And I'm in the bedroom. So this was in the studio, the room that's now the studio, the smallest room. That's the studio. The bedroom is where the office is now. So I had this drawer unit by the wall. And I decided I needed to move the drawer unit out of the way. I think actually I gave it to Mum because I needed a desk to work on as I got to university. So I said, you know, I'm going to move this unit. So I think I took the drawers out of it. I didn't try and move it with the drawers in it, took the drawers out. And I was left with like a very, it wasn't that heavy, framework of this drawer unit. So I eased it forward and eased it forward. And there was just like a crashing noise. And I stopped dead with like, what was that? Where did that come from? Because this drawer unit was not that heavy. It was just the top, the two sides, and the back. And the back was very thin wood. We call it hardboard in the UK. It's about 2/8, about 1/4 inch thick, if that. And it was making far too much noise for that. But as I kind of looked down at the bottom of it, I could see that this wood, this thinnish wood, was like splitting. And it looked like somebody had hit it with a hammer. Well, I started panicking, as you would as a child, because I'm thinking I'm going to get the blame for this and I've not touched it. But it was Mum's drawer unit. She had given it me when we moved into this house. and I was giving it back to her for her room. And now I looked at the back of it, it looked like somebody had hit the back of it with a hammer, but it never moved. So I'm like, what could possibly have happened with this? And then there's this kind of crashing noise come construction noise, shall we say. So I carried on moving it forward a bit, and there was still noise. And I'm like, oh my God. So I looked over the top of this unit and looked down at the floor, and the wall had collapsed. Now, I don't think that my little drawer unit would have been holding the wall up, but apparently it was. So I moved it, and I'm like, I'm horrified. There was two bricks and all the rubble you could imagine. The wallpaper was ripped, the whole lot. I am stood looking at it in abject horror. This drawer unit had not moved since the day Mum decorated, which was like 2 weeks after we moved in. And I'm just stood looking at it thinking, how could that have? Oh my God. And this drawer unit backed onto the wall, the shared wall between the office and the studio, where Dad had successfully, massive air quotes, installed the double plug. And what he'd managed to do to get the double plug in, he'd obviously just chipped away at it with a chisel and not been aware that he'd managed to knock the entire wall down next door. And thus it had sat there for years like that until I moved this drawer unit. Well, were we seeing each other at that point?
Don't think so.
No, I don't think so. It must have been when I was starting uni and needed a desk. I had to go downstairs and I'm like, I have no idea how I'm going to tell Mum this. She's a wonderful woman, but if you tell her that the wall's collapsed, she will go orbital. She will murder him. Or, worse still, blame me. I thought, I'm not taking the blame for this one. No, no, no. I'm going to get the job of rebuilding this wall. I can see it coming. Spoiler alert, I did. And I went down and I'm like, she said, do you want a drink? I said, yeah. It took me ages to get the courage to say, and you know how your voice goes really high. And I've just moved that drawer unit. And she literally said, don't tell me there's a crisis with it. But in the end, I told her. And she was like, but how did that? And I just said, double plug studio. And she went, I'll murder him. I thought, yeah, I know. Luckily, he was out. If he hadn't have been out, I think he would have been a goner. So I had to rebuild the wall. This was how come I am skilled at jobs like this. Two bricks had to go back in. And of course they needed chiselling because they wouldn't have fallen out if there was enough room for them. Why does every job, you know, the job that requires like tenderness and care, why does he use a lump hammer? That was my father. It wasn't good. Oh, Jonathan's on the move. Is it working now? You know the bit where you play? Oh, they fixed something.
No.
Is it working? Yes. Have they fixed it?
Well, they must have done. No, I gave him a different URL.
Oh, he's got a proper URL.
Yeah.
Excellent. Enjoy your walk, Jonathan. So, yes, I had to rebuild the wall with that one. So I'm watching Paul's house come together and I am enjoying it. Do you know why I'm enjoying it?
Why?
Because I don't have to do any of the work. So I'm really enjoying seeing it come together. But I must admit, I saw the wall and I think, oh, conduit, cable conduit.
There we go.
Oh, it's working. Yeah. Excellent. Good news. Hello, Anthony. We're talking DIY at the minute, but it's a celebration. It's day 127 times two. Yes.
254.
It is 26.
It could be day 254.
It could. It feels like it. It's 26. No, it's not. It's 25 and a half minutes to 8 o'clock. At which point, we have the worldwide premiere of MacBytes 127. It's a miracle. Did I have to reframe the wall? What I did with it was, I ended up having to take more out. So I had to take the plaster off. The hole that he'd managed to, well, the bit that needed fixing in the end was about 2 foot wide by about a foot and a half to 2 foot tall. And obviously I had to use a brush to get all of the dust out. Oh, will tomorrow feature 128? Jonathan, don't be ridiculous. Did I mention having no sleep? No, no. But you've set as a target. Target's there. It's on a post-it note. Just stick it on the wall. We will have a party when we get to 12 shows this year, Jonathan. Can't say fairer than that, considering there were how many last year? 6, 7
I think so, yeah.
And there were 2 in 2016. That's shocking. No, no. We're aiming for 12, so it won't be tomorrow. Is that your ploy? I shouldn't really... Well, I did actually have a little bit of a nap, but certainly not enough. Should you be typing and walking?
I was just thinking that myself. I do it.
Maybe he's talking to Siri and Siri's doing it. Siri features in the show, doesn't he?
Yeah.
That's not a spoiler. A socially distanced party. That is exactly what we'll do. We will have the party to end all parties should we reach 12. That's on a post-it note on the wall now. No, I took it back to the brickwork, Kim. I chiseled the bricks so I could put the bricks back, but minus the bit that Dad should have taken off from the other side. Then I had to use... It wasn't just plaster. I actually had to use like mortar to get the bricks back in. And then eventually I got to the stage where I could put some kind of plaster on it. Wasn't the best job I've ever done, to be honest. You don't see it now. It's behind my desk. It's on the floor behind my desk. But it I think it needed rubbing down more. But the thing was, Dad would never let you use the tools that he'd bought either. He couldn't use them, but he didn't want you to use them either. So at the time, I didn't really have the right tools for the job, and Mum was just glad that the wall was back in one piece. Which, to be honest, so was I. But honestly, the job's like... That's how I learnt to do everything. Because he would run round. I mean, he was a lovely fellow, wasn't he? But, you know, stay away from the DIY, Dad. You didn't see one of his classics, you know. I was only about 6. Mum went to the Ideal Home exhibition. I don't know if you have that abroad. It's like an exhibition centre. It was in Manchester. You know the one in, I don't know what it is now. Is it the science and technology bit? You know, near the science Museum of Science and Technology. Yeah. Was there a conference centre there in the 70s? Because it wasn't GMEX. That was a railway station at the time. She does not need to go out, but, you know, where you go. She's becoming a right little madam.
I'll leave her.
Go on, take her out. She probably does. And she won't settle till she has, you know, Madam Lola. Ah! Chicken! Going outside! Chicken's going to play football with Lola and Mike. So she went to this Ideal Home Show exhibition. And to me, it was a nightmare. You know, you're 6 or 7 and you're bored silly. But it had kind of innovation stuff. Now it would be a Kickstarter. So there was like a roller for wallpaper, and that you actually see people doing the job. Keep us watching the computer. Chicken's very happy. Chicken's getting outside. So she watched these people with these toys and stuff, and one of them was a metalwork kit. So it was strips of metal. They were probably about 8 foot long, 6 to 8 foot long. They were about 1/2 inch by 1/8 of an inch. And what the kit was, you got, when you bought it, you got a wooden, like, briefcase with an intricate, what looked like a maze in it. It had, like what looked like nails sticking out of it. And you used this board with the 6 foot to 8 foot long bits of metal to bend them. So if you can imagine what a metal garden gate would look like, where the metal is like all turned in on itself, etc. That was what this kit did. Well, she decided she was going to use it to create like an ornate top for some units that we had at home. Dad was well up for it. Any new toy, he was there. And they'd stood there and they'd watched them use it. And it obviously they make it look incredibly simple. I actually call it now Ideal Home Show Exhibition Syndrome, which is somebody demonstrates something to you and it looks so simple. And then you try it, not simple at all. And that was what happened. We gets it back home. Oh, good grief. It took about 3 years for him to just make this like 6 foot long ornate piece. And she said then and there, never again. She was quite right. Oh, you have those too. Excellent. I think it's kind of changed. The ones, because what happened then in about the 90s, probably, there were lots and lots of TV shows on all about DIY and home improvement. And that made the exhibitions kind of come back even more. And one of the ones, I don't think it was Manchester. I think it was in London. It could have been the Ali Pali. There is a conference centre in London called the Alexandra Palace. It was actually where the first broadcasts of radio and TV in the UK happened. It's basically like a greenhouse. It's all glass and ornate. But it's known colloquially as the Ali Pali, Alexandra Palace. And I think it was down there. And what they actually did was they built a house in the middle of this thing. Okay, it was a small house, but it was a house. And I thought, whoa, things have moved on since my day of going to visit these things. But we now have another conference centre in Manchester. There's the ones in the centre of Manchester. And, oh, there it is. There's the Ali Pali. Right, I'll get that shared so you can see it. There's the ones we've had for a while in the city centre, but that got turned into a Nightingale Centre, if you remember. Haven't heard a thing about the Nightingales, whether they're staying or not. But I think they are, because they're sorting out the winter, what's going to happen in the winter with the second wave. So I don't think we could use that now. But there is another one. There is another one. Good grief, I've turned this on and I've got a million notifications. There is another one near the Trafford Centre, and Chicken is indeed back again. And that one is a dedicated space, but that is the inside of the Ali Pali, and I'm looking for one of the outside of the Ali Pali. There is, it is absolutely huge. I actually went there to a computer fair many, many moons ago.
You're not having any more food?
She's absolutely not having any more food, I can assure you.
We can play with Chicken.
Right,
so that's close to food as you'll get.
There's the second one. Isn't it the most amazing view? In fact, you can see on the right-hand side of that. So there's the big bit in the middle that is the tallest part. But over on the right at the corner, you can actually see the transmitter.
Where's that?
That's the Ali Pali in London. We're talking about ideal home show syndrome. And the Ali Pali was one where they had one of those things. It is absolutely, I mean, it's available for event hire. There's another one of the inside of it where people have got an event going on. So it can turn to look like anything you like. It is beautiful to look at. Sometimes they even put seats in the thing. But the second one that I sent, the middle one, you can actually see the transmitter. I think it's up on a hill. I mean, when you look at that and realise it's kind of central London, you can see all the houses, but there's also a lot of greenery with it. It is a beautiful place. Oh, it must have been late 80s I went down there for a computer thing. I remember actually being stood outside and saying to Mum what I was going to buy. And one of the things that I wanted to buy was an app. It was an app for the Amiga. I have no recollection of what it was called. But its function was to take like an image and do some magic with it in terms of printing it. So it acted as a kind of driver between the Amiga computer and the colour printer that I had. And it made it, when you printed it, instead of it looking really blocky, it made it look fabulous. And I was so desperate to get my hands on this thing. And it was going to be released at this conference exhibition thing. And the guy was still programming it and was stood at this stall waiting for him to come with it. And he was actually going to duplicate it onto floppies to sell it to people. It was amazing. In the end, I ended up buying it. And he had to take my name and address to send it on because I wasn't doing the last day of this conference thing. We'd actually gone down there. I think we did 2 days of it. But it is an amazing, amazing building. It's amazing it's still standing, actually. It survived the war and everything that did. It's been there since, I think, the 1800s. Gorgeous place. Oh, the first time that Anthony saw an iPad was at the NEC in Birmingham. I think we've only done the NEC once, haven't we?
Yeah.
Once was enough. The car parking, shocking.
Was it a training show
thing? It was the training show thing. Yeah, we went down there for the training show. Whoa, it's got a lot of car parks, but good grief. So many car parks, and because they're all flat, the walk to get to the place, but it's huge, isn't it? Mm. I think we were in like two halls that had been merged into one. But we did always say that we would, this was throughout the 90s, we were like, one year we'll go to Crofts, one year we'll go to Crofts. And this particular year, which was 2001, it was, we'll go to Crofts. And then Mum said, why don't you have a dog? And it's like, oh, who needs to go to Crofts when I've got my own? But the thing was that made that all the more difficult. And I obviously wanted to strike while the iron was hot, basically before she changed her mind. So we went out to try and find a boy dog. Had to be a boy. She didn't want a girl dog. So luckily we found one. But
yes,
the thing,
girls can be hormonal, can't they?
Lola.
Yes, talking to you.
She'd had a bad experience, to be fair to her. And anyway, if we, it would have been easier to get a girl. And if we had got a girl, we would never have had Maya.
True.
So no matter how difficult it was to get our hands on a boy dog, we managed it. But that was the year, just to add to the, now we've got a global pandemic, you'll have some idea of what I'm talking about. This was on a little bit of a lesser scale because it didn't affect towns. But in the countryside, there was a major calamity in 2001. We had an outbreak of foot and mouth disease, and trying to get from A to B and visit dogs and stuff, absolute nightmare. You had to, you literally had to wade through disinfectant in Wellingtons to get into farms and places where dog breeders would have dogs. Nightmare. And Crofts was put back, wasn't it? Didn't it happen in May that year?
I can't remember.
Because I remember watching it for the first time, and Maya was there curled up with us as a puppy. And we were intending to go. And because it, if it had happened in the March, when it was supposed to have done, but got put back foot and mouth, we might actually have gone. But by the time it was, okay, we've rearranged it and it's going to be May, we had Maya. So we've never made it to Crofts. But we would love to go there. But obviously, all the while we had Maya, you weren't allowed to take a dog with you unless they were actually being shown. Don't think he would have taken kindly to being shown. So we didn't. Then we were like, for the last few years, busy. And just as it's kind of settling down, then we adopt Lola. So I don't think we're intended to go. But we decided, I mean, it actually happened this year, didn't it, in the midst of the pandemic. They want locking up. Locking up. But we've decided, you know, as we watched it going, but there's a global pandemic. What? Don't touch the dog. We've decided, you know what? You would go home with the best dog. The best dog's the one you've got. So we'll just watch it on the TV and be done. The Sammy nearly made it into the final this year. They did make it into the final one year. That was, what was that dog called? Is it Romeo something?
I can't remember.
Lucky something. Beautiful dog.
Shall I look it up?
Beautiful dog, but not as good as the dog here.
Samoyed Crofts final.
Yeah, I think it was a couple of years back.
2019?
2019, 2018, something like that. I think they've got to the final twice in the last few years.
Charlene.
No. No, it was a boy. Lucky. Was it Casanova? Something Casanova at Roybridge? Is it Lucky Casanova? Oh, that might have been a good few years ago.
Wasn't that Andrea's dog? I'll say Lucky Casanova.
Not sure. Was it something Dancer? Oh, come on, it can't be tricky to find. It got to the final. I'm sure one of them was Lucky Casanova. Silly name for a dog. You remember coming home from Scotland due to foot and mouth. All the fields were empty. It was a horrible time, wasn't it? It was horrible. When we went to pick Maya up...
Yeah, hang on.
We were going to Scotland as well. So obviously you're passing through rural areas. And there were just like huge, huge bonfires where they were burning the cattle that they'd had to destroy. It was horrible. The sky was literally black.
So Moisky Lucky Casanova.
There you go. Lucky Casanova. Lola does not need to get lucky again. She's already been lucky once. She's not doing it again. Once was enough, babe, wasn't it?
No, 1999 called and wanted his website back.
Oh, dear. Pretty dog, though.
Yeah.
Pretty dog.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were trying to breed from him, weren't they?
Yeah.
I think he's got a lot of offspring. Snow what?
Snowbrook Samoids.
Don't remember that name at all. Some of them have the name at the beginning, don't they? So Mayer's kennel was Treleska. So he was Treleska Cool Carrera, Mayer's kennel name. Do you know, we don't actually know what Lola's kennel name was. She's just Lola Bear. Lola Bear, with more surnames than she can shake a stick at.
Content on this page requires a newer version of Macromedia Flash Player. Do you want to download it now?
Mike, walk away from the Flash Player.
Cancel.
Do not touch the song.
Cancel.
Leave it. Leave it. Hello. Have you settled now?
You come back in here to see your brethren.
You're the best dog. Always hold on to the fact you're the best dog. But don't glower at me. No, because you want more treats, because you've had enough. She's had venison sausages today. She's had a schmacko. You gave her a jumbo.
She's had two jumbos today.
Really?
She had one after breakfast, one after dinner.
Really?
And she's had a...
She's had a little stick as well.
A tripe stick. I nearly said something else then.
Yes, we have a different name for tripe sticks, and it's very unfortunate.
Yes, it's the word you nearly used.
It was the word I nearly used the other day, but it's because they smell so vile. Oh, they are awful. But she likes them, don't you? They came from Tesco's. The Asda man wasn't as nice, was he? But he did have venison sausages. Look at her face. She's holding court. Yes, foot and mouth was a horrible, horrible, horrible time. So many people lost businesses and stuff like that. Terrible. Tripe stick. Yes, Jonathan, you do not want to smell a tripe stick. Actually, they come in two kinds. There were some that are quite flat. So they're about 3/4 of an inch wide and about 6 inches long. And they're not very flexible. So they're a bit crunchy. But the ones that we've got this time, I've never seen before. Again, they're about 6 inches long, but they're much narrower. And that was what we think she possibly overindulged in the first day they arrived. So instead of having one from each of us now, we're hoping she's not noticed this. She's having one, but we're breaking it in half. So she thinks she's getting two, but they're actually smaller. We're cheating, basically, cheating. But we do break it up into tiny little pieces so the treat lasts longer.
Good girl.
Yes. Oh, are you sitting down again now? She's so cute. Oh, when I came out this morning after I'd finished the edit, she was on the landing and I don't know. Had you come out of the studio and talked to her?
Probably.
Because I finished the edit about 10:20.
Oh, no, I hadn't, no.
Oh, I thought you had. So I always go out very gently out the office, you know, don't make too much of a noise. But I went out and there she is on the landing, laid out completely across the toilet door. That's in case we get away, you see. And she was upside down with one arm, one paw, one leg right up against the wall on the door frame. But she jumped up as soon as I appeared. But what was funny, she disappeared. She obviously wanted some peace. So she disappeared into the bedroom, curled up next to the bed, didn't you? Were we disturbing you, Your Royal Highness? She actually did that last night as well. Which was handy because you know what I was expecting last night? When we started recording this morning at 5:30, 5 o'clock, I was expecting pre-barks. But she, don't teach her that. That's what Maya used to do every time we started recording. So basically we had a tin of treats in the studio to keep him quiet.
She doesn't do that.
No, she does talk though. She's taken to talking. Yes. I've got to get that recorded. But whenever, you know, because it's been so hot, the fan's on. So I've got a recording, but you can barely hear her because the fan's on. So what I really need to do is put like a recorder around her neck on her collar. And then when she starts chunnering away... But of course, she probably wouldn't like that. Can I put a GoPro on her head as well when she's on a walk? Because that went so well with the Halloween outfits.
Just leave her be.
But wouldn't you want to have a Lola eye view? She could be an Instagram star. No, she's giving me just the same look that Mike's giving me.
She doesn't want to be an Instagram
star. She doesn't. Oh, Kim she says, I sound wide awake for being up all night. It's pure adrenaline now. Pure adrenaline. I think you can get a little harnessy thing that will put a GoPro possibly on her back, but it's like on a stick, so it's higher. Oh, it's got to be done. It would be so cool. She'll never notice. I'll give her treats and she won't mind, will you? I've never known a dog be so expressive in her disdain of my suggestions. Oh, dear.
We could stick one on your back, but you never go anywhere.
It's too people-y out there. I've come to the conclusion I have been so much happier in lockdown. No, I mean, I can do people. Get your real people. You know when you sat at the same table as people?
Yeah.
You see, the MacBiters are special people. The Macarooners are logical people who like the same things I do. But I go to church and then I come out of church and we're in having a coffee and it's like, look at my new nail varnish. And I'm like, couldn't be less interested. It's lovely. What colour's that? And I really struggle to hold a conversation about the benefits of nail varnish. And then there was that bag incident. Do you remember the Ted Baker?
Yeah.
I thought it was a joke. Do you know what that happened when I was a kid? Went down to my best mate's house and they had like two up, two down. So it had a long hallway. And the carpet they'd had was basically threadbare. And they'd had a new carpet fitted. And I knew they were having a carpet fitted. So there was this... There was something on the floor. Let's leave it at that. So I walked in and her mum said, what do you think of the new carpet? And obviously I'd seen it as I walked through the door and I looked at it and I laughed. And I was literally about to say, the underlay looks great, when I realised it wasn't the underlay, it was the actual carpet. It was the colour of underlay. It was not the best looking carpet you've ever seen. So I had to kind of stifle my laugh and say, oh, it looks fantastic. So the Ted Baker bit was, somebody came in with a Ted Baker bag. And now, admittedly, it wasn't like a proper, I guess Americans would call it a purse, wouldn't they? It wasn't a proper bag in terms of like it had a flap and a little thing to close it. It was more like the kind of thing Apple would give away for free in paper, only it was plastic. It was totally open at the top. So, you know, if you've got your, what we would call a purse, but you would call a wallet in it, there was, you know, how do you stop somebody just dipping you for that? Because there was no lid on it. So she comes in with this bag. Look at my bag. And I'm looking at it thinking, God, that's hideous. And of course, it said Ted Baker all over the side of it. And I'm like, why are you advertising something ridiculous? So I thought it was a joke. And it turned out, no, this bag was like £150, £200. I nearly fell off the chair.
There you go. GoPro fetch dog harness.
Oh, there you go. That's what we need. Oh, absolutely. Are you up for this?
Paul's just found that.
Well, Jonathan says he's surprised we haven't had more tech. I have contemplated putting my Apple Watch on her, but I don't think that would work too well with the fur. But no, we haven't. We haven't, no. We also don't smother Instagram with pickies of her, which I guess I should post some more pictures. I'm liking that harness, though. We'll have to get you one, babe. Because you wear a harness, you'd never notice the difference, would you? It could be evidence of people not socially distancing enough. See, I'm all right with people who talk about interesting things, but the colour of nail varnish, can't actually get myself giddy with it. And do you know the other thing that women talk about incessantly that drives me insane? And this will be like literally 10:45 on a Saturday morning, on a Sunday morning. All I've eaten this week is, and then they give you an entire list. And I'm like, please make it stop. Just make it stop. So sometimes it's actually a blessed relief to leave the place. I want to talk to the guys about the match the day before. But they're all like, oh, no, I can't talk to you about the match. Even though, you know, it's fantastic that you know all about the match. The missus would go mad. So sometimes you just don't fit in places. But in lockdown, I'm fitting in fabulously, if you don't mind me just saying.
Yeah.
Now we're 30 seconds away, aren't we, Mike?
Yes.
It's all keyed up. It's ready. It's episode 127. Shall I give them the title? Shall I give them the title? Yes, you definitely need the title. The title is Automating State-Sponsored Stalking. There you go. And as we head to 8 o'clock, we'll say good night from me.
And good night from me.
We'll both see you next time.